Americans are opening up their wallets at casinos. For Marketplace, I'm Nova Safo in for David Brancaccio. It's earnings season, and companies reporting first quarter results have so far generally managed to beat expectations, even if those expectations are quite low. The gaming industry, meanwhile, is doing record business. Casino operator Wynn Resorts reported a 50% increase in revenues, MGM Resorts up 34%. In fact, new data from the American Gaming Association, the trade group for the legal gambling industry, shows revenues totaled almost $17 billion in just the first 3 months of the year. Marketplace's Henry Epp has more.
The first full year of the pandemic was pretty rough for casinos, says Casey Clark at the American Gaming Association. But then in 2021, they set a revenue record,
which was bested in 2022 with another record year. And now Q1 of 23 shows another quarterly record.
One factor that might be drawing people into casinos, all of the advertising for online sports betting that seems to be everywhere these days. Rachel Volberg is a professor at UMass Amherst who studies the casino industry.
It may have increased the amount of gambling that regular or heavy gamblers are doing.
This uptick is happening even as Americans face a lot of economic uncertainty. But Leah Nauer, the director of the Center for Gambling Studies at Rutgers University, says that's not surprising.
That's a time when revenue actually does go up because people mistakenly feel that gambling can be an income-generating activity.
The risk, Nauer says, is that more people could develop gambling problems. I'm Henry Epp for Marketplace.
President Biden is in Japan for a summit of the Group of Seven major economies. Two countries which are not represented there, China and Russia, are expected to dominate the agenda. The G7 countries are to discuss what they call China's economic coercion and could strengthen sanctions on Russia. San Francisco has reached an agreement with Walgreens to settle charges that it improperly filled opioid prescriptions. The city attorney says it's the biggest award to a municipality in a case involving opioids. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall Genzer has the details.
The $230 million settlement came after a federal judge said Walgreens, quote, substantially contributed to the opioid epidemic in San Francisco. San Francisco City Attorney David Chu says Walgreens didn't always check to be sure opioid prescriptions were legitimate.
Walgreens filled a significant volume of illegitimate opioid prescriptions. In doing so, Walgreens contributed directly to opioid diversion and made the opioid epidemic in San Francisco worse than it otherwise would have been.
Walgreens told Reuters it did not admit fault in the settlement and it disputes liability. The company added, quote, "Our thoughts are with those impacted by this tragic crisis." I'm Nancy Marshall Genzer for Marketplace.
A report on the state of preschool education shows public spending on preschool has stagnated for two decades. That's if you account for inflation. There's growing momentum in states to change this, to publicly fund universal pre-K. The challenge is finding enough teachers to do the job. Reporter Ali Budner has more.
The National Institute on Early Education Research at Rutgers University has studied preschool programs in the U.S. for two decades.
The 20-year perspective is somewhat startling.
Steve Barnett is with the Institute and helped author the latest report.
Spending per child is about where it was in 2002.
He says there are consequences to that.
About half the kids in poverty still don't enroll in a preschool program of any kind, public or private, at 3 and 4.
Barnett says this will come back to haunt states when those 3 and 4-year-olds grow up. Studies have shown that preschool can improve people's lives long term. But Barnett points out that a number of states do provide universal pre-K. Several more have passed new laws to get it going, and others are exploring it, including New Jersey. A third of New Jersey's school districts already offer preschool for everyone. Wendy Rodriguez lives in one of those districts, and her 4-year-old attends school for free.
They teach him how to do his name. He knows all the letters, and I'm very impressed.
Rodriguez has a degree in early education herself, but she's currently unemployed. So when she found out her son's pre-K education would be free,
I was so excited, very excited.
If she had to pay for the preschool, her son probably wouldn't be able to go. Rodriguez is looking for work as a preschool teacher, but she says the pay is often just too low. And that's one of the challenges for many pre-K funding programs. New Mexico voters last year approved a ballot measure to boost funding for early education.
With this new funding, we are able to build salary parity into what we pay pre-K programs.
Sarah Michelson is with New Mexico's Early Childhood Education and Care Department. She says there's still a long way to go before the state gets to universal pre-K. But she says the state has made it a priority because
families are at their economically weakest when they have young children.
And Michelson says that's when kids' brain development is critical. I'm Allie Budner for Marketplace.
And Montana's governor has signed a bill banning TikTok in the state. It's the first such law in the country and comes amid concerns from state and federal officials that China uses TikTok to spy on Americans. TikTok says the new law violates the First Amendment and it will probably be challenged in court. A lot can happen in a day when it comes to the economy and all its moving parts. We've got you covered here on The Morning Report and in the evening on Marketplace with Kai Rizdahl, heard on public radio, podcast, or at marketplace.org. I'm Nova Safo with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.